this little board right now.
We all be 80 years old here.
I think it's a lifetime, I said.
I think I'm going to descend there, but it's certain times coming out.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure y'all won't miss me this time.
Let's see. Railroad.
Microphones on too, but I can't hear.
Can't find all that stuff I brought.
Didn't use, I didn't bring it up. You know if Dennis is going to be here?
Dennis is not here.
He's not going to be here?
No, he's out of town.
We're waiting for the building inspector and the council.
John?
Yeah, John, right.
Yes.
All right, what I would suggest as we wait for Emily and John is that we, you know, we can take things out of order, if that's okay, because there's several things on here that, you know, I don't think that they would be too concerned if we got out of order. So I'm going to call to order the May 2012 meeting of the Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. And we have four members present, and Dennis is excused and communicated that he would be out of town. So first on the agenda is item number two, which is approval of the agenda. I would recommend that we approve the agenda unless anybody wants to make any changes with taking a few things out of order. I suggest we put the alternative energy discussion at the end of old business, and we put Cave Avenue Plan update and further discussion as the first item. Then we really have to wait for John also on the potential driveway ordinance revision. So if there's any objection, or is there any other changes to the agenda that anybody would like to make? Okay, is there, I'll make that motion. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next item is approval of the minutes, and I was not here last, I was in South Dakota, so I did miss our last meeting, so members that were present, are there any changes to the
I didn't get a chance to read the minutes. I came down today and I couldn't find these.
I don't have anything.
Nothing. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next item is a person to address the commission. I would recommend that, you know, we do have some people here, but I recommend that we put that when we all actually talk about the alternative energy, you know, if that's okay. And under old business, we would have the Cave Avenue Plan update for the discussion. I know we've been kind of pushing ahead on that. I had a chance at the last council meeting when I presented the alternative energy ordinance to talked to several people, council members, as well as members from SLAP, and they recommend that we're kind of at a point where there's a lot of things going on in terms of, you know, what's going to happen in that area in terms of some public right-of-way issues, in terms of putting the sidewalk there, curbs, that I think we're at a point where they somewhat suggested informally that we have a joint meeting with some other groups continue the discussion. I'm not sure if any, again, I wasn't here, and it looks like there was a lot of conversation about this last meeting, so I just wanted to kind of pass that on, that there's a general feeling that we need to have a joint meeting with some other committee members to think about what the next step in this process is, rather than going off on our own, because a lot of concern was issues related to parking. If we do go for a mixed-use sort of thing, what are we going to do about parking? What are we going to do about you know, extending the parking down the center lane? There's people that are concerned about that. just a number of things that I think that there was an expression that we're at a point where we need to have another joint meeting with people.
We're talking about just committee, not a public meeting, just committee.
Yeah, I think it was any meeting would probably, if we're there, it would have to be a public meeting, I assume.
Right, it's not a public hearing, though.
No, it's not a public hearing, but it would have to be advertised.
Sure.
It would be a workshop with the parking committee and any of the council members that would want to come. I think that was the suggestion for some sort of a joint workshop in the near future. So I think the issue is when we might want to schedule that. I can, I do plan on being at the next council meeting on the 15th, I believe it is, and I can kind of organize that, or we can set up a time and see if other people want to do it that right now. I don't think there's any real pressing. I think there's a desire to kind of move this thing forward, but I don't think it's an issue that has to be dealt with immediately.
Well, if you want to get dates from council and them.
Okay.
I'm pretty flexible as far as.
Okay. Is some days better than others?
Thursdays are great.
Thursday afternoons, evenings? Evenings?
Or evenings after.
Say, let's say 6 o'clock on a Thursday. Okay, 6 o'clock on a Thursday would work. All right, so what I'll do is I'll communicate with the groups that express an interest in having a workshop and see if we can set it up sometime in the near future, some sort of an hour-long workshop to flesh out the issues and maybe assign responsibilities to, maybe look at certain issues. Okay, very good. Well, we move pretty quickly. There we go. Perfect time. Here. All right, so there's no other action on the KM plan other than to set up a joint workshop with the interested committees and council members. John, we moved things around here in our old business, and the next thing is the potential driveway ordinance revision update.
Yes. I remember what I was talking about. Basically, what I'd like to see is our driveway ordinance is very plain and simple. It just says driveway can't be any wider than 36 feet. Once it crosses over to town right away, it can't be any wider than 24 feet. As I said before, I really like the concept of the header style driveway. I can't really necessarily push that or show the paper reports that. But I do get a lot of requests for pervious driveways and things of that matter. Pervious driveways, pervious pavers, things like that. Most of the time those requests come with because people are going over their impervious area coverage on their lots, which is 65% of your lot. So what I'd like to see is, in addition to the ordinance that we have now pertaining to driveways, that includes if you are having a problem with your impervious coverage on your lot and wish to have a driveway, you have the option of either using a header style driveway, header tram style driveway, or a gravel driveway. So that's basically what I had in mind. Just wanted to know what y'all thought about that. So,
okay. We still want to keep it the same size?
Yes.
So you're not expanding the coverage, it would still be, you would just adding material?
Yes.
Issues. Okay.
As of right now, I do allow gravel driveways in lieu of impervious coverage. But I do not allow pervious pavers or pervious concrete.
Is that just because it's just not allowed in the code, or is it because that you feel that there's a problem with it?
If they're using it in order to conform to the ordinance regarding impervious coverage, in other words, I'm already over my 65%, can I put in pervious pavers? Then no, I do not allow.
But if they're under the 65%?
If they're under the 65%, I do allow, yes.
Okay, so you don't have a problem with material, it's a coverage issue.
That's correct.
You want to get specific on it's that it's laid in the sand bed and not?
Yes, I would like to make sure that the gravel and the header style walkway are laid in the sand bed and not a stone bed. So that's what I had in mind. I want to know what you think about it. I'd like to write this ordinance and have it ready for you next month for your review, edit, and then possibly send it to council.
Is there any objection to that? I don't think we need to have a. I mean, do we need to have a motion? We might need to have a motion on that. So, Unless somebody want to make a motion to have John write a proposed amendment to the ordinance regarding driveways and submit it to the planning commission next month?
So.
Is there a second to that?
I will second John to do some work.
Okay. Any further discussion? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, next item is the alternative energy. We do have two folks here that would like to talk about wind turbines, I believe, right?
Okay. Sure, sir.
What I would suggest, if it's okay with the commission here, is that we talk about some of the issues that were raised at the council meeting first, which have nothing to do with wind turbines. And then we talk about wind turbines, if that's okay. So, just very quickly for the information of the commission, I was there with this last month when we had the public hearing on the ordinance. We did have one person show up who had already installed a solar panel system, and he expressed some things that we had actually talked about. And then in the process of rereading the ordinance and thinking about things that we had talked about, I had a few recommendations that I presented to the council, and the council then sent it back to us, very favorably inclined, but sent it back to us with a couple recommendations. What I have done right here is I put together a little, you know, I fooled around PDF here, and you can see where I'm suggesting changes based upon what the council has suggested. One of the ones is that they wanted to change 110%, which is what we allowed. We said 110% is allowed. They want to change that to 150%. I actually recommended that because, you know, there's going to be changes in technology over the next couple of years that would improve the efficiency. So the first recommendation is we change 110% on page 1 to 150%. At the end of that, and I realized that we had stated under 110%, and then we had this ordinance dealing with 110%, but we didn't say anything what happens if somebody has anything over 110%. And so there's a recommendation that we simply prohibit anything over 150%, to change 150% now according to recommendation. So the second change that I would recommend is simply at the end of the definition, we state that systems that offset over 150% of the beneficiary's requirement of energy consumption on site are classified as commercial systems and are prohibited. And that's what the council recommended also. The third issue has to do with grandfathering. You know, again, grandfathering is absolutely the worst word to use. You know, I don't think there's any modern city that uses the word grandfathering, but the understanding, and this really came out of the idea that there was somebody who had already installed a system here. And according to John, we have about three or four different systems that are installed. Certainly understanding that we don't want to, you know, have them go back and fix their system if they're non-conforming. We don't know if any are non-conforming, but rather than using the grandfather term, which means that we might be stuck with these for 50, 70 years, I would recommend a grandfather type clause. And that's suggested number 3 there at the bottom. I guess it would be category C under 4, so it would be 4C. It says, non-conforming solar energy equipment that was installed prior to the adoption of this ordinance. Oh, I'm sorry, it's supposed to be a definition. So, it should read, a non-conforming solar energy equipment. The key issue is if a non-conforming system installed prior to the adoption of this ordinance replaces 50% or more of the existing solar energy equipment, the updated system needs to conform with this ordinance. And send, I'm not sure what I was saying. I think I left out this little sentence there. It says, basically we want to say that a non-conforming solar energy equipment that was installed prior to the adoption of this ordinance is not subject to this ordinance. You know, something like that. However, we want to make it such that if it's non-conforming and they start to replace panels, they keep putting panels in and panels in and panels in, that somewhere along the line, if they replace panels over 50%, that they do have to conform to the ordinance. I mean, if not, then we may be stuck with a system there for 70 or 80 years and they keep simply just changing the panels in and out, you know, as these things develop. So my recommendation is some sort of a language like a non-conforming solar energy equipment that was installed prior to the adoption of this ordinance is exempt. Oh, I'm sorry. I understand right now. This is under 4, so this is an exclusion from building permit requirements. So simply, you just simply have to say non-conforming solar energy equipment that was installed prior to the adoption of this ordinance. And because it's under, it'd be in 4C, that means it's excluded from the permit requirement. And then following that would be, if a non-conforming system installed prior to the adoption of this ordinance replaces 50% or more of existing solar equipment, the updated system needs to conform with this ordinance. So that addresses the grant, quote, grandfathering issue, but I think makes it so there is a limit that, you know, we can't grandfather on for 70 years if they simply replace the equipment. On page 2, it was recommended of the council, and again, this is based upon a comment that one of the council members made when I first presented this, about roof-mounted systems, is that there really wasn't a limit. If somebody wanted to put two posts in the ground and build a roof on those two posts, that would, you know, I mean, it's really a ground-mounted system, but it could be classified as a roof-mounted system. So anyway, I just recommend that under 7, all roof-mounted systems have an engineer letter outlining suggested attachment, and then right after that, roof-mounted systems refer to systems mounted on the primary residential or commercial structure. Solar energy equipment or panels mounted on other structures are classified as ground-mounted systems. And by defining as ground-mounted systems, we don't allow ground-mounted systems. So that would naturally exclude that. And then finally, this is based upon something we had talked about, but it wasn't included in the ordinance, but it was again brought up by the person that was there about there's nothing in this ordinance about these new technologies that are integrating solar panels into the tiles and into the sidings, and clearly that's where the technology is going. So probably 20 years from now, a solar panel system and solar cells will actually be part of the tile or even maybe sprayed on as paint. So anyway, I would recommend that under 7I, that we have something like this. It says, the town of Fury Beach recognizes that there are continuous improvements in solar equipment technology. Non-reflective solar cells that are completely integrated into normal building materials such as roof tiles may be exempt from section 7C and 7D. And 7C and 7D are the ones that say they can't go out beyond 12 inches, because if you have a tile, you know, it basically could go out the whole thing. So it's excluding it from 7C and 7D, but doesn't exclude it from other requirements like 35-foot height limit and that sort of thing. It says that the building inspector will determine if a proposed system is sufficiently integrated into the building material to qualify for this exemption. So those, I think, were the 5, you know, and I just put the verbiage in there, I think, to reflect what the concern was the council when they sent it back to us to make those changes. And I know it's small print there, but... Is there any discussion on either the, you know, what went on during the council meeting or them sending it back with the recommendations or any changes here? And I'm pretty sure that this takes care of all the issues that the council raised, as well as the citizen that was here talking about some of the new building materials that were out there. So.
Do we have any requirements on the codes or anything as far as the installation of these panels and stuff like that?
I just haven't come with engineering. Okay. But as far as building code referencing them, not necessarily.
Might be something that I would then agree that could be considered. But
yeah.
Of course, the engineer has to take with that.
Yeah. It's purpose of them, yeah.
Yeah, this certainly fits within the state of North Carolina requirements. I mean, they do have a statute that limits the ability of cities to limit some of these issues, and we're well within that. In fact, we're more liberal in terms of allowing alternative energy, because actually in the state ordinance, we can restrict them from visual view from the streets. And again, we're allowing people to have that on the street front, you know, as long as they go to the building inspector. So, you know, and this has been put before the town attorney too, and he's comfortable with the way it's written. Is there any further discussion on this, or someone want to make a motion to adopt the recommended changes? And I'm not going to say resubmit it, because we do have a presentation about the wind part of it, so, but to at least adopt the recommended wording for the changes to the ordinance. Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And you have a copy of this?
I have.
You can get it where it goes. The second thing that I thought we'd do tonight is, again, I'm sure everybody realized we have a very short statement about wind energy systems. Basically, the recommendation of the ordinance is that they not be allowed. It says, our number 9 is wind systems are not permitted in any form in any district, primarily for two reasons. One is an aesthetic issue, and one is a noise issue. And then I believe that John was contacted by Jenna from Raleigh. Is that
sir?
That's about doing a short discussion presentation about their particular type of wind system, and they are here tonight. So I thought it'd be very appropriate to look at the presentation. It's a PowerPoint presentation, but we don't have a PowerPoint here, so I think you're going to have to huddle around a computer to see the PowerPoint presentation, and then. You know, then we can talk about that, and then you know, make a motion if we want to send it back to the council for another public hearing and possibly adoption. So, if you guys want to set up, I think that would be. Was there any objections? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Could you just state your name again and spell your last name?
Chris Spolman, W-O-L-M-A-N.
Yeah, probably what we're going to need to do is, we might be able to put it up here.
You
guys can come around here. There's a,
okay.
There's a seat here. So.
Okay.
So do you guys have wireless anything here?
They should.
Did you have?
You don't have
a flashlight. Did you need my name?
It's there's one of them.
Yeah.
Like YouTube.
You got a video on the name.
So it's Matt.
Matt. And with me. W-H-I-T. L-E-Y.
Pass rounds. W-O-L-L-A-M?
Yes, ma'am. Yep. Or M-A-N.
M-A-N?
W-O-L-L-M-A-N.
M-A-N.
Yep. Oh, man. Do you know what the wireless key is?
910.
Not in here.
910-458-7421. Awesome. Thank you.
I don't know that. Can I find that?
Alright, I'm gonna. Can you guys see this from here?
Might want to pull it up.
I'm gonna share it over here.
Yeah, and you guys can come out here. We're not too formal out here, so.
So we work at a company called Green Sky in Raleigh. We manufacture small wind turbines, also called distributed wind turbines. Looks like frozen. We manufacture small wind turbines. And what small wind turbines are turbines that do on-site power generation. So they're a little different than the wind farms that you see offshore popping around.
You want to get out of them, re-bring it back us?
Yeah, I'm going to light it up. That's probably good.
Is this something you have?
This is on my computer. I think it's that. Let's get back out.
Can I turn the lights out there?
Yeah, it's a good idea, actually. What's that? Yeah, one second. Yeah. Do you see the presentation already, John? Or?
No, I'll turn it a little bit.
Is it working now?
Yep, it's working. Okay, so. What are small wind turbines? They're devices that produce electricity from the wind. They're different than wind farms. We thought it was important to note that the maximum height that you would need to put one at is 45 feet. I believe, what is your building code, 30 feet?
35.
Okay, 35. Well, they work well in that speed also. Our technology, and I don't know if you guys have seen this before, it's a vertical design instead of the horizontal. It's kind of a newer technology, but a few of the benefits are you can mount it on your roof, it's vibration free, it's absolutely silent, and it can take turbulent winds from coming from any direction. So it's significantly more efficient than the old design. We recognize that as community leaders, you might be wary of enacting regulations that are new or the first of their time. This is just a small sample of other localities. They're all in North Carolina on the left side, and then we've got a few on the right. But it's not bleeding edge whatsoever. It's, you know, pretty widespread and becoming more and more widespread by the year. So common misconceptions. We noticed, or we've heard that the two biggest issues you guys have with small wind turbines are that they're loud and that they're unsightly. And we just kind of wanted to clear up that the vertical axis design, particularly ours, as a few other manufacturers, are completely inaudible to the human ear. Ours operates at 25 decibels, so you'll hear the wind before you'll hear one of these turbines.
Say 25 decibels, how far away is that from? Is that at source point?
What's the source point?
Your 25 decibels right there at the source point?
And we'll show you a video of it being silent. And then that they're unsightly. Now that's kind of an opinionated thing, but they have been called fusions of art and societal progress. And we don't feel that they're any more prominent than the power lines that are throughout your community, flagpoles, or some transformers that we've seen. This is just an example of kind of how people used to perceive wind turbines as sounding. And this is by a company called Southwest. It's the noise that nobody wants to hear, that kind of buzzing, high-pitched noise. It's really annoying. And that's at 100 feet right there. Now, ours, this is one of our prototypes right here. It's absolute silent. That's a huge one that we made. You're not going to...
That's the AC
system. That's AC.
It's a little loud. It's kind of rumbling.
Yeah, so this is a 10 kilowatt. What we make now is a 1.2. Smaller than that. That would be probably too big to be in the beach. This is our small unit that we've just manufactured. And notice it doesn't need to spin fast because it has a low RPM generator, which means that it can spin at that speed and produce...
Not that speed. What's it producing? It's not producing...
That's probably at about... That's called the cut-in wind speed. It's probably about 4.5 miles an hour, so it's not producing too much. Mm-hmm. But it is producing power at that speed.
You can see on the back of this, you've got the power curve. And so the details,
you know, you can
mile per hour.
So 4.5 miles per hour, it starts producing energy?
Right.
Yes. Which...
About 600 watts, it looks like. 500, 700 watts.
Yep.
And when you look out to the market, that's where a lot of our R&D has come from, is spending 5 years and realizing that the rated wind speed up here, 19 miles per hour, that, again, in a lot of places doesn't even occur. But the companies come in and they say, hey, we've got a 2 kilowatt or 5 kilowatt. The issue is they don't start making power until 8 or 9 miles per hour. So our R&D went into how could we create technology that was able to pick up the gusts and the low wind speed, because that's the majority of things. So when it comes to efficiency, that was number one for us. Efficient, silent, and more than anything, when it comes to, I guess, the large farms, on an environmental perspective, we get that. We agree with that, with what's going on out west. That wasn't the vision of Green Sky. The reason Green Sky was created was to empower the individual and the small business to make a decision for themselves to cut their costs and to lessen their carbon footprint. And that's what this is all about. That's what we stand for. And that's why the whole, I know there's a lot of issues going on with North Carolina on offshore wind. That's not us. A lot of times we'll get lumped in because it's wind energy. But ours is again, it comes down to the individual. So that's where we stand there.
Right. So this is just a comparison of the aesthetic point of view. These are a couple pictures we took in Curry Beach. Power lines, I'm not even sure what this is.
We're trying to get rid of our power lines. So.
Okay.
See, that's a disaster siren right there.
Okay, I got
disaster siren.
So what makes an eyesore? That's power lines on the left, wind turbine on the right. I would argue that the power lines are uglier than the wind turbine, but that's, you know, just an opinion. So common misconceptions, more that they're inefficient, and that wind to that. A lot of people get angry that the vertical or the horizontal ones kill the birds because they fly through it or spin so fast they can't see it and they get chopped up.
There's actually a study just done about that that said that the birds, after a while, have created a sense about it that they'll begin to veer.
So they're smarter than
you
think?
Yeah.
That's good. Well, ours, they perceive ours as being a solid object, so they avoid it, so you don't have to worry about birds dying.
Again, it has to do with the low RPM. So we spin slower, so it becomes a solid mass for them, as opposed to a three-pinwheel design that's going really quickly.
Yeah. Now, one of the issues, and there have been some studies, and I didn't bring them because I brought them last month, but I didn't think we'd have a presentation this time. We're actually got, you know, several studies that were done comparing the different noise decibels of different forms and stuff like that. And it seems like the decibels jump up dramatically when the clutch disengages at higher winds, because then it's spinning much quicker. Obviously you're going to disengage at some speed. It looks like about 40 miles per hour you disengage.
Yes, and ours has a magnetic brake, so there's no part-on-part contact for the brake, which also extends the lifetime because there's no wear and tear, there's no noise. So everything's controlled by magnets.
Now you're like the three ones, and I forget what the term is, furling or something like that, whereas the wind speed starts to increase, they start to, you know, basically like idling a propeller on a plane, and that's where you start to get some loud noises too. These are fixed, is that what it is?
Sir.
Okay, they're fixed, so you're not going to change the angle of the wind.
Right. Yeah, they're absolutely solid. And it's also, I know some people have concerns about their stability during hurricanes. One of ours we have out at the airport in Wilmington just survived Irene. We guarantee that they'll survive up to 140 mile an hour wind speeds. But there's also a brake you can hit and you can disengage the sails just in case you think it's going to get past 140. So the reasons for zoning. High and rising energy prices, they're projected to raise by 6% every year for the foreseeable future. To conserve natural resources. One of the best ways to preserve your community is to cut back on pollution, and we think this is a great way to do that. To retain and regain autonomy, if there is a power outage, the houses with the wind turbines are going to be the only ones with power, or also with generators, but then you get the noise issue again. Support the North Carolina economy. We're a North Carolina business. We employ about 12 to 15 employees in our manufacturing, which is in Whiteville. Our office in Raleigh, we employ 5 people, and it's going to save people money in North Carolina. So we just don't want to be limiting some potential gains that we could bring to the North Carolina economy. And then the personal and public benefits. Personal benefits, you know, energy savings. Public benefits, one of the big things is you really reduce the amount of demand during peak outputs. It's the most expensive time, it puts the most pressure on the grid. That's one of the biggest public benefits. So simple ways to make them accessible. You list them in your code as an allowed use, such as an accessory, permitted, or conditional use. And it avoids the scenario of somebody being denied the opportunity. And there's some caveats that you could add. Include a decibel limitation to ensure that they're silent. Include a height limitation and clear to ensure that they're not, you know, towering over the rest of your city. And require them to be approved by professional engineers. This is standard practice with our company anyway, just to ensure that they're going to be safe in all weather conditions. So, in conclusion, we think it's an important, achievable, and good public policy. It's forward-thinking, but I feel it's better to be prepared. By understanding the issues, they can bring a net benefit to the community at large.
And we totally get the conversation. I mean, when it comes to each beach that I've gone to, most folks have the conversation of when 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. But with the advances in technology, again, we're able to address most of those concerns. What we're here to do is just educate people. That's all. And let people know what's available now, and as I said from the beginning, put the power in the people's hands.
Any questions? How many, is it pretty standard, just one per residential unit?
Pretty standard. That's, we've got three models. We've got the 1, the 5, and the 10 kilowatt. So the 5 kilowatt is able to take care of a resident's needs, a typical household with 2 kids. So most people stick with the 1. They just want to cut their costs. They want to... It's almost like a psychological thing, too, I run into, where they have this commitment to the earth, and they have this commitment to, you know, and they want to have something that says, hey, I'm doing it. You know, so that's, and to be empowered, too. I mean, a lot of people that we talk with, again, they're irritated. They're irritated with the politics of the energy companies, and now we have Progress and Duke. Are they going to come together? What's going to happen there? It just gives people comfort that they have a choice in the matter. So that's what we've seen so far.
But yeah, typically one turbine will cut your power from anywhere between 30% to 40%. In this area, that'll be a payback. The turbine will pay for itself within about 6 years. Then you start profiting off the turbine.
Yeah, that's a good question. How does it stand up with salt water?
Ours are made out of composite material. It's fiberglass and nylon, so it's... it's the same thing that boats are made out of, so they do great in the salt conditions. Another thing I don't know if I mentioned is, I know you mentioned that you don't do ground mounting with solar. I don't know if that would be the same with wind or not, but ours are also rooftop mountable. Because they're the vertical design, they have no vibrations, so they don't damage the roof structure either.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You can get the lights there. Appreciate that.
Okay. We'll show a discussion about the ordinance. You know, raises. You know, again, to do it in terms of our proper. We have. An existing proposal under wind systems, that wind systems are not permitted in any form in any district. We've just, you know, for the record, we've missed a presentation by, sorry, the name of the company?
Green Sky,
regarding the Zephyr wind turbine system. Is there any further discussion about the wind turbine recommendations?
So this system is actually, was it 4 feet in diameter?
Yes, sir. It's 4 feet diameter, it's 6 feet tall.
I mean, just as a quick comment, I'm not sure you heard the conversation. I've done a lot of work with the California State of Energy, Department of Energy, and mostly on alternative energy systems and wind turbines. There are a lot of new designs that are out there. I do a lot of work for Department of Defense on alternative energy technology, too. I'm a big fan of alternative energy. I mean, there's no question about it. You know, solar panels, I think in 20 years we're going to have people spraying solar panels on as paint. There's a lot of really neat stuff out there. So I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of wind turbines, in the appropriate place. And again, my feeling is that as a beach community and as a tourist community, I mean, we're tourist driven and you know, beach community, very small one, that we have to be very sensitive to not only aesthetics issues but also noise issues. And I do know that there are some surrounding communities that have problems with noise on very small wind turbines, but I'm pretty sure they're the three blade type. And there have also been a number of studies done in the last couple of years, which I brought last time, that looked not only at your particular type, not necessarily your technology, but you know, that technology as well as the normal, and did some decibel sort of things. And generally, if I remember right, I didn't bring it with me, is that you've got about a 10 decibel increase over the ambient noise typically. And again, that may be with the three blade type of systems where you have, you know, 10 decibels. And these are usually measured 50 feet away, 25 feet away, or something like that, not necessarily at that point. But many of these systems, at least in the study, generate a lot more than 25 decibels at the point, at the source point. Many of them generate up to close to 80 to 90 decibels at source point in these studies. And so, you know, when you start talking about a 10 decibel increase over the ambient noise, you know, that's not, you know, that's an exponential. It's not just the percentage. If you go from 60 to 70, it's just not a 15% increase. It's an exponential increase. So I am concerned about the noise for those reasons, and I'm also personally concerned, even though I'm a big fan of alternative energy and wind systems, I am very concerned about the aesthetic component of that. You know, I don't think that roof-mounted systems would, I think that would even look worse, to be honest, you know, for this sort of thing. So you probably talk about primarily ground-mounted systems. You do have a 35-foot limit. If you go up 35 feet, you start thinking of, you know, $7,000 isn't a lot of money for this type of system, by the way. You know, I'm sure it's what you know. That's your selling point, where a solar panel system that generates the same sort of stuff might be $40,000. I'm not sure how the town would look if we start having a lot of ground-mounted systems in place. So as much as I'm appreciative of, you know, your presentation and your concern about this, I think for Curie Beach and the nature of Curie Beach and what we're trying to do here, if I was in a different community, I probably would feel very differently. My personal feeling, again, I'm only one vote here, is that, you know, we should stick with the proposal that this shouldn't be permitted in any form. But I'm just one vote, so we'll turn it over to other people.
I mean that definitely is a concern, because we do have 5-foot setbacks between houses. You stop mounting these things on a roof, they could potentially be 10 feet away from the next house. A lot of tin there, soffit. You know, you're 10 feet up. If you're up near the roof line, you're in the next house soffit. So that's where all the noise enters into a house. That's where you can hear your road noise and everything comes through the soffits.
Right.
So.
Could I comment on that?
Sure.
Is that all right? Yeah. A lot of the permits that are being written, or the ordinances that are being written, address the fall line, so that with the height of it, it can't fall on any property, and that's in the permitting process with a lot of the other counties. So that's something that, again, you're able to define nationally, and something that has been covered by the other counties. I've got Brunswick County's printed up, several printouts in my car.
You know, in fact, just very quickly to jump in there, I saw your list, and we did a lot of research, so I'm familiar with this. Most of the ordinance in alternative energy and wind systems are actually county level ordinances right now. You know, and the individual municipalities are just starting to look at the ordinance. And, you know, when you have a county ordinance, typically the county is a little more rural, and you've got some of those type of issues, and most of them are either noise and or height or setback. You know, so if you generate a certain amount, a certain height, you have certain setback requirements, you know, that type of thing. But I'm, you know, we're a small municipality. It's not really, you know, looking at Brunswick County or New Hanover County or some of the rural counties in terms of the ordinance is a little bit different than municipality. I think as you start to have more municipalities look at these issues, you're going to see that they're going to be looking more at the aesthetics and some of these, because, you know, the houses are just much, much closer together in that, in that respect. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump on those. No, Tim, you're still a member of the commission, so what's your...
Well, I kind of agree with the aesthetics of it, you know. I mean, the reason we were focusing on the solar panels, the traditional type ones, just to keep the thing more contained on the person's property versus it being a possible eyesore or something for your neighbor, for instance. I would think if these were, I mean, 6 foot tall and 4 foot wide is pretty large. It's like having a Christmas tree on the roof or something, maybe, you know, and it's pretty good size, you know. It's
probably the thing that you could also do. If I was to put one on my house, I'd put it on the dune. Mm-hmm. 30 feet in here.
You have the best wind right there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I know my neighbor wouldn't want to look at that 4 foot wide, 6 foot high as they're looking up the coast.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's awful.
I mean, I can see them more feasible in a smaller size, possibly, you know. And, I mean, 6 foot, I mean, I'm only 5'7", so I can stand outside of it, there with my head, you know.
You listed Kill Devil Hills. Do you know where the locations were? I'm pretty familiar with Kill Devil Hills, where they were.
So I think you've got Bergie is another company. They do the horizontal, and so they've been the ones that have been putting it on the map up there. I know Nag said Jeanette Spear.
Yeah. Okay.
Jeanette Spear has three of them, three of the Bergie on the pier, going down.
Okay.
And they put those in, I guess.
Similar size to what y'all do.
Similar size, but again, it's the vertical. They do the horizontal, the 3-pin pinwheel that we do. And then up in Marshallburg, Beaufort area, they just installed a 10 kilowatt Bergie up there at the aquaculture. It's a big, huge aquaculture, working together with NC State's aquaculture. And they put up solar and wind. And so they're testing the two of those together to see which one has more output. But they just put that up 2 weeks ago. And then we're installing next month at CMAS, which is the Center for Marine Science Technology at Morehead City, next to Carter Community College. We'll be installing there next month. It's May 1st, end of this month. And that's going to be, they're going to use it for educational purposes. Just again, because that's the big thing, just educating the community. Having them see, hey, it is silent, and for them, it's actually putting them on the map in terms of, hey, this is our commitment. But like you said, I think Curry Beach has that wholesome, old school type. You come here to get away from technology. So maybe that's where the conversation's really at. I don't know. The retreat.
I do commend you guys for setting up shop over in Columbus County, though, over in White Wing. I'm from that area. So.
Now, I like I said, I'm all for. I mean, I'm a professor at the University at UNCW, and I do a lot of work with marine biology here. And I would encourage you to go out and put these up in the marine biology. But again, that's on 30 acres of land, and it's you know hidden in the back, and it's by the ocean, and
right.
You know, I mean, it really is. You know, putting on different hats, I can see where it'd be great for one particular location, but possibly not for, you know, a tourist / residential, more high density type of situation here by the beach. So, but anyway, again, it's any further discussion?
Do you see these getting smaller over time?
The issue is they're smaller out there, but it's the physics. The physics.
I have a degree in history, so I'm not good with physics.
Well, so, hey, I don't know physics either. I just know because I'm just studying the wind. But the physics of it has to do with the swept area. And so that's what the swept area has to do with the amount of energy that you can produce. So once you go a lot smaller, it's a lot less inefficient. It doesn't make much sense on the turnaround for people. It's going to take 10 years, 12 years. For kickback as opposed to 6-5.
And that's why you're getting some really exotic sort of designs where you have funnels where you're gathering air and then bringing it down into a funnel. So you have a small turbine, but kind of a gathering type of funnel that goes down into it. And you know, just a variety of different ones.
Definitely. The generator for us is our main actual component that is patent pending. And we build our own generators. The market buys generators off the shelf in China. We make them in-house in Whitehall. And so we made the generators first, and then we matched the sales to that for the efficiency factor. So
the composite phytoplasma, what are they connected to? What's that metal? And what's the pole made out of that phenomenon?
We make the pole out of steel, but everything else is composite. So it's very lightweight, but it's also stronger than steel.
But even though, there's got to be some metal components inside that generator or whatever it is.
Oh yeah, the generator itself has got some metal components, but from a durability standpoint, like I said, there's no parts that touch each other. We project at least 30 years. Our engineer insists that it'll last for 100.
Well, that steel pole won't last that long on that ocean.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely true.
Any further discussion?
I have none.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and make a motion, and the motion is to adopt the changes recommended that we've already discussed on the alternative energy ordinance. Express appreciation for the presentation, but not to have any recommended changes to the wind system recommendation. And then to, if approved, then pass this back to the town council for public hearing. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Is there further discussion on the motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. 3-1.
Well, I mean, you can still present to council if you'd like.
Yeah, in the state of case of the council, I mean, we're, as a planning commission, as any planning commission is, we're an advisory to the council, and and I'll be there presenting this to the council, but you're certainly welcome to present to the council the presentation.
But, and if they want to, the council wants to kick it back to us.
Kick it back to us, to deal with these issues, but
we will.
But anyway, okay, right.
When did the city council meeting?
The city council, it's 2 weeks from tonight. Yeah.
The 15th.
Well, what would be the deadline to get on the agenda?
I think it already is on the agenda.
It's on the agenda.
So it's on the agenda.
So they can come up and speak at the meeting. You don't have to be necessarily on the agenda.
But I believe it's on the agenda. Right? It's our,
the ordinances, yes.
The ordinances, yeah. Okay. All right, well, thank you.
Who seconded the motion? Who seconded the motion?
No, I think I did.
You did?
All right, new business. Okay, hearing none, we'll go to member items. And we have one item, which is member Ballard tendering his resignation to the town council. So, you'd like to take the lead on that? I guess you must have mentioned it last time when I wasn't here.
Yeah, I brought it up last time I here. I think it's just time for something different. I appreciate that, working with the board. I've enjoyed working town for the past few years. I'd like to thank him for that and directing. It looks like the board's in good hands, and I don't know what I'll do with my Tuesday nights from now. I'm sure I'll be out working somewhere in that. Besides, it's been a pleasure, and I definitely enjoyed working with everybody.
Well, we do have the formal letter, and so this will be the formal resignation as of tonight. So. Again, I'm very sorry. I wish you would stay on, and I certainly understand the interest to maybe do some other things. So,
20 years is a long time.
20 years is a long time. So, okay. I guess probably just I'm not sure if we need a motion, but obviously there's now going to be a vacancy, and it's the council that has to pursue that issue. Just want to make sure that it is pointed out to the council that Tim has resigned as of tonight. Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I think a motion to adjourn.
Very good. Yeah, that's it. Oh, very good. Very good. Okay. Tim has made that motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Very good. All right, thank you. Good. And then we do appreciate the presentation. This is very important because right off of Union Valley Road. And by the way, I think it's great you're doing this in North Carolina rather than doing Chinese stuff. I'm tired of Chinese things. I do a radio thing on economics. I'm on the radio Tuesday mornings. I continue to talk about the problems of Chinese goods to our coffee. So I'm all for you guys doing what you're doing.
I appreciate it.
I really am.
Offhand, you mentioned your commitment to alternative energy and the conversation and being a part of it for 15, 10 years. Offhand, is there
stuck it up so
long. Anybody, two or three individuals you think I should definitely talk with, speak with?
So well, alternative energy would be the responsibility of probably
carrying that crap around.
I'm not sure if it would be charged. A good starting point would be just call the energy and just talk with them.
I was just saying, just I was trying to talk about the CEO of the company. Graduated from UNCW.
Okay.
All right. He also graduated from UNCW. So.
Well, that should be an in. But I mean, if you think about trying to do some installation there, I see there's a little bit more of a turn there. And when I think about it, like the Center for Marine Sciences, which is a big facility right there on
the
that'd be a fine place for 20, 30 acres. Right there on the coast.